I'd like to start in the book of the Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 10, in verse 4. For the blood of bulls and goats is incapable of taking away sins. Wherefore, coming into the world, he says, sacrifice and offering thou willest not, but thou hast prepared me a body. Thou tookest no pleasure in burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin. Then I said, lo, I come in the roll of the book it is written of me, to do, O God, thy will. Above saying, sacrifices and offerings and burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou willest not, neither took pleasure in which are offered according to the law. Then he said, lo, I come to do thy will. Mm-hmm. He takes away the first that he may establish the second, mm-hmm. by which will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. Mm-hmm. And then verse 12, but he, having offered one sacrifice for sins, sat down in perpetuity at the right hand of God, waiting from henceforth until his enemies be set for the footstool of his feet. Mm. And then in the prophet Isaiah chapter 53, Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 4. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, and we did regard him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and Jehovah hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, but he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and was as a sheep dumb before her shearers, and he opened not his mouth. He was taken from oppression and from judgment. Who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And men appointed his grave with the wicked, but he was with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was a guile in his mouth. Yet it pleased Jehovah to bruise him. He hath subjected him to suffering. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see a seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of Jehovah shall prosper in his hand. And lastly, in the Gospel according to Luke chapter 23 in verse 39. Now one of the malefactors who had been hanged spoke insultingly to him, saying, art not thou the Christ? Save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, dost thou too not fear God, thou that art under the same judgment? And we indeed justly, for we receive the just recompense of what we have done. But this man has done nothing amiss. And he said to Jesus, remember me, Lord, when thou comest in thy kingdom. And Jesus said to him, verily I say to thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. I just simply have on my heart, dear friend, how wonderful the work of Christ is. That's what I simply want to speak about tonight. Mm-hmm. It's really mentioned in the first chapter I read, by which will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. Mm-hmm. It's wonderful that I can stand up tonight and can tell you tonight, dear friend, that on that perfect and finished work of Christ on Calvary's cross, that God is able and willing to forgive you, the sinner, tonight. Mm-hmm. It's the most wonderful thing that I can tell you of, dear friend. Mm-hmm. It refers to the incoming of Jesus in this passage in Hebrews. Mm-hmm. It says, lo, I come in the roll Roll the book is written to me to do, O God, thy will. Mm. What a wonderful, think of it, think of that stoop. Think of that stoop from heaven's highest glory. Mm. Think of the stoop of the Saviour. Mm. Think of the heart of God. Think of God's love for his creature. Think of, as Scripture says, that God so loved the world that he gave. He gave. Oh, dear friend, that's most wonderful. It speaks of the love of God. It speaks of God's heart of love. It speaks of what he gave. He gave that there might be. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but to have life eternal. God gave his Son. It says here, it tells us here that how they used to bring these sacrifices for their sins in the Old Testament, the blood of bulls and goats. But it was incapable. It was incapable of taking away their sins. Mm-hmm. And then it looked on, as we touched on this afternoon, to a most excellent sacrifice. A more excellent sacrifice. And that's just the burden of my heart tonight. The most excellent sacrifice. The sacrifice of the Lord Jesus. He, as it says here, the offering of the body of Jesus Christ. You know, it says in Romans that God looked down, and he looked down upon the whole human race, and there was not one, not even one that did good, not even one. There wasn't even one, dear friend. And that was a state of the state of man's away from God. But God, as it says in Romans, that God commends his love towards us, and that while we were still sinners, God, it's while we were, man was like that. There wasn't even a righteous one, yet God moved. God moved from his own side. Because he loved, it was his creature, the creature he had formed. Think of the compassion of God. Think of the compassion. We were reading this week of the compassions of Jesus, as it's in the Gospels. I was most affected by it. Came to him a leper, beseeching him, and falling on his knees to him, and saying to him, "If thou wilt, thou canst cleanse me." But Jesus, moved with compassion. Think of that situation. There was a Saviour. There was that leper, the one who speaks to us of just such a sinner, and that leper beseeching the Saviour, beseeching Jesus, "If thou wilt, thou canst cleanse me." And then what Scripture says, but Jesus, moved with compassion. He looked upon that man, he looked upon the leper. There was no one else wanted that leper. But look, Jesus looked upon him, he looked right into his heart, and he had compassion for him, because he saw the need of that man. He saw the need, and he stretched out his hand. He was able and willing to help that man. And he's available to you, for you tonight, dear friend. He's available as a Saviour tonight. Think of the compassion of God. Think of the mercies of God. Looking down upon the whole human race. It was far away from him. And yet, it says it's while we were yet sinners, God commends his love. God commends his love to us. And what a love. There's never been a love like the love of God that gave his Son. Gave his Son that there might be, on the basis of that giving and on the basis of that finished work at Calvary's cross, where Jesus went to Calvary's cross, and there he took upon the question of sin and the question of your sins and my sins, dear friend, was laid upon him. And it's been, it is exhausted the righteous judgment of God, it's that work is complete. That work is complete. It says that Jesus uttered with a loud voice, "It is finished." Oh, what words these are, dear friend. Do you know what they are? Do you know what these words do? What do they mean to you? These words of Jesus on Calvary's cross, "It is finished." Oh, what a, the work is complete, friend. As it says in Romans, God is saying in Romans chapter 8, "For what the law could not do, then it was weak through the flesh, God having sent his own Son, in likeness of flesh, of sin and for sin, has condemned sin in the flesh." That's what happened at Calvary, friend. When the Lord Jesus, the one who knew not sin, was made sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Think of that, dear friend. Stands out in the history of time. Calvary, the cross of Calvary. Think of the sacrifice. That's a more excellent sacrifice. I can point to the cross, friend, tonight and say, that made my peace with God. I can point to the blood of Christ. I believe in that. I believe that my sins were laid upon Christ. Friend, do you believe that tonight? There's no other name given under heaven whereby we must be saved. The name of Jesus. I point you to the cross tonight, friend. I point you to Calvary. That by faith you might accept God's word, that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's where every one of us stand. We've come short of God's glory. And so it says later on, "But he, having offered one sacrifice for sin, sat down in perpetuity at the right hand of God." Think of that offering. Think of that offering up of Christ. By the, as it says in the Acts, him given up with a determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. Oh, dear friend, think of that. Think of God's love. Think of God's mercy. Him given up. There was no other answer. There was no other way. But God gave his Son, given up by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. God should give his Son. God gave his Son for sinners. Christ died upon the tree. What an impression the hymn writer had. I don't know, dear friend, I just hope you have an impression tonight of what God has given. Of God, that God, as the hymn writer said, God gave his Son for sinners. Christ died upon the tree. That you might find peace. You might be trusting in that, dear friend, because there's no other way you can be right before God tonight. There's no other way but accepting that you're a sinner and coming to God in repentance. Just like that younger son, he came back. The Father was there welcoming. He came to an end of himself. Oh, dear friend, God knows what you are. God knows everything you've done. Every thought, everything you've done, every single thing I've done, every thought I've had. Dear friend, God knows. And in love, he wants you to turn round. Turn from that way you're on. Turn to the Saviour tonight. Turn and tell him you're a sinner. That's all you need to do, dear friend. And you turn to God in repentance. That's what Paul preached, in repentance towards God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, dear friend, it's for the acceptance of faith. It's a wonderful. No, there's no great work to be done, dear friend. The work has been done. The work has been done by Jesus. Faithful is the word and worthy of all acceptation. that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the first. Faithful is the word. The question tonight is, friend, will you believe it? Mm-hmm. You either go out that room a believer or an unbeliever, friend. Faithful is the word and worthy of all acceptation. It's worthy of your trust tonight, friend. I've trusted in that finished work. I believe that the work of Jesus on Calvary's cross, that he bore my sins, friend. He bore them on his own body on the tree. Friend, it's for your acceptation tonight, worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world. Think of that. Think of God's Son coming into the world that his hands had made. Think of that. That Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. To save sinners. I'm not come to call righteous, Jesus said. I'm come to give sinners to repentance. Oh, dear friend, I pass on to Isaiah. Just a simple impression there. We sung at the beginning, Man of Sorrows, what a name for the Son of God who came, ruined sinners to redeem. Hallelujah, what a saviour. This chapter here, it just appealed to me in relation to that hymn. We all sang it. We all sang these words on our own. Sang them. I hope you can sing them. You know them for yourself, dear friend, that you can sing Hallelujah, what a Saviour. Mm-hmm. Oh, dear friend, what a Saviour we have. Jesus is. And he's available. He's available for you tonight, dear friend. And here in Isaiah, Isaiah had this wonderful account of description, really, of what the Lord Jesus did, what he did on Calvary. It says, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Mm-hmm. Yes, my friend, that's what Jesus did on Calvary's cross. That's what he did. He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. As it says in Romans, he was delivered for our offences. Mm-hmm. Think of that. He had known, the Lord Jesus had no need to go to Calvary. Mm-hmm. He went there in his love for you and me. That's why he went to Calvary. He went that there might be a righteous basis. And there upon Calvary's cross, the Lord Jesus exhausted the righteous judgment of God. Mm-hmm. It's exhausted, friend. He not and left but a love for you. That's what the hymn writer says. But Isaiah had this wonderful impression. Surely he hath, yes, Jesus hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. And we did regard him stricken, smitten of God. Yes, think of that. That scene on seeing these 3 hours on Calvary's cross. Dear friend. And Lord Jesus could say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Think of that. The life of Jesus was a life that was uninterrupted communion with his God and Father. And there upon Calvary, friend, because of your sins and because of my sins, the Lord Jesus was forsaken. That there might be the question of your sins, it was dealt with. He was delivered for our offences and raised for our justification. And so we did regard him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions, and he was bruised for our iniquities. My simple impression here is, dear friend, is what it cost the Saviour. What it cost the Saviour to bear my sins. That's the simple impression I have tonight. He was wounded for our transgressions. Think of everyone. Think of the transgressions. Think of your transgressions and my transgressions and the transgressions of the whole world. He was bruised for our iniquities. He was bruised for our iniquity. And the chastisement of our peace was upon him.
and of his stripes we are healed. O dear friend, I point to the work of the Lord Jesus on Calvary's cross. Think of these wounds he suffered. These wounds from the hand of man. The Lord of glory, the Lord of glory. He set his face, you know it says in Scripture that he set his face steadfastly to go to Jerusalem. Mm-hmm. Greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. Mm-hmm. Friend, that's the love of the Saviour tonight. There's never been anyone who's loved you like Jesus, dear friend. The fact that he went that way and he was wounded. Why? For my transgressions. He was bruised. Why? For my iniquities and for your iniquities, friend. Chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Think of the stripes that were meted out to my Saviour on Calvary. Friend, go back to that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. It's worthy of your acceptance tonight. Mm-hmm. The fact that the Lord Jesus, he stooped from the heights of glory. Dear friend, there's never been a story like it. Mm-hmm. Never been a story like it. That God should send his son. He gave his son a ransom for all. Oh, dear friend, the price has been paid. The price has been paid, dear friend. And you can go, you can know if you come to God tonight in repentance and put your faith in that work at Calvary. Dear friend, you can know what it is to have your sins forgiven. You can go out of that hall tonight as a forgiven sinner. No matter how dark they may be, dear friend, no matter how dark they are. As Isaiah says at the beginning, they shall be, is it? Come now, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. They might stand out in all their terribleness, dear friend, but tonight, God, the Lord Jesus would say to you, come now, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. There's no other name given under heaven whereby we must be saved. Dear friend, there's nothing you can do. The work has been done. The work of our salvation has been done. The work of atonement has been done. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. That's why Isaiah says, you're thirsting tonight, dear friend, come to Jesus. Jesus cried in a feast. He stood up and cried in a feast. Wonderful words, you could say. Come to me. Come, oh dear friend. I know what it is to come to Jesus and to have that, to be healed, to have my sins forgiven, and to be quenched. A dear friend, may you come to the Lord Jesus tonight and know what a wonderful Saviour, as we sung in a hymn, bearing shame and scoffing rude, in our place condemned he stood. Mm-hmm. Purchased are we with his blood. Hallelujah. What a Saviour. Mm-hmm. What a Saviour we can present in the gospel tonight. Mm-hmm. Isaiah chapter 53. All we like sheep have gone astray. Yes, everyone in this room. Every one of us have gone astray. Mm-hmm. Every one of us have gone off in our own way. And God's wonderful grace, God has called us back. All we sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And Jehovah laid upon him the iniquity of us all. These are the most wonderful words, dear friend. There's nothing to pay. Jesus has paid the price, and he's paid it in full. Jehovah hath laid upon him, the Lord Jesus, the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, and he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and was as a sheep dumb before her shearers, and he opened not his mouth. Yes, these are facts. As he stood before Pilate, stood there, he opened not his mouth. But dear friend, I just read this It shows the depths to which my Saviour went. That the question of my sins and the question of your sins should be settled perfectly and righteously. Never have, as we says, as we read in Hebrews, never, this is read in chapter Hebrews there, that he, having offered one sacrifice for sins, sat down in perpetuity at the right hand of God. For by one offering he has perfected in perpetuity the sanctified. That's the offering God offered. The Lord Jesus offered himself spotless to God. All these sacrifices were old, they were imperfect. It looked on to the Lord Jesus. It looked on to the perfect Lamb of God, the spotless Lamb of God. That perfect sacrifice. I looked on to that, dear friend. And there, when thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed and shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of Jehovah shall prosper in his hand. Think of the myriads of the redeemed, the myriads of men and women and boys and girls that have come, have bowed the knee to the Lord Jesus and owned him as their own personal Saviour. Let the Lord Jesus into their heart and acknowledge him as a Saviour of sinners. And as this is what it says here, when thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. Think of the fruit, the myriads of the redeemed, the myriads that are being saved tonight. And so I just finished lastly in Luke chapter 23. It appealed to me, this malefactor has been spoken many times before, but that malefactor, there was the Lord Jesus on that cross of shame, at Calvary's cross. And these two robbers, one on either side of him, and I want to draw attention to the malefactor who knew that he deserved what he was there for, and he said, "We indeed justly, we received the just recompense what we have done, but this man has done nothing amiss." He really was. He really this malefactor here. He really he appreciated that the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus. He appreciated all that the Lord Jesus was going to do in these 3 hours of darkness. That atoning work of the Lord Jesus. He had in God's wonderful grace and mercy. That malefactor had a sense that the Lord Jesus was there, was hanging on Calvary for him. And dear friend, that is just what I desire that you might by faith look to the cross of Calvary tonight, and just be able to say in such simple words that the malefactor said, "Remember me, Lord, when thou comest in thy kingdom." He acknowledged, this malefactor acknowledged, we indeed justly, we receive the just recompense. He said, "I deserve everything I've got here." That's what he said to the Lord. He said he was a sinner, and he acknowledged the one who was hanging next to him, the perfect, spotless Lamb of God. Well, dear friend, I point you to the Saviour tonight. And just remind you of that hymn we sung about. He's a man of sorrows. What a name. What a name. What a name for the Son of God who came, ruined sinners to redeem. Hallelujah. What a Saviour. I point you to the Lord Jesus tonight by faith. Look to Christ. Look away from yourself. Look into that perfect one as he hung upon Calvary, as he hung there for you, and he hung for me, dear friend. Come to him. Tell him that you need him, friend. Tell him you're a sinner and you need him. And by faith you trust in that precious work and that precious shed blood of his, that you're trusting in it for his name's sake. Amen.